I come to you today with a sermon whose title asks the question, who is really in control? In the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon made the following proclamation: there is nothing new under the sun. How many of you are familiar with that phrase? Let me see some hands. How many of you believe it's true that everything that once was comes back again? Though he was talking about the many challenges that he would face in his own life's journey, I can't help but to wonder if he knew how accurate and timeless this particular phrase would become. Looking at this phrase in the context of where we are today, it has so many applications. But for the sermon today, I'm only going to point out two dimensions of what this phrase is talking about. Beginning with our Old Testament reading from the book of Daniel, the part that we read was in response to a dream that he had just had. A dream that sort of messed him up and it woke him up out of his sleep. Allow me to tell you what that dream was. It began as a vision of four beasts. It says that in the beginning, the four winds of heaven began to kick up and stir the great seas. Then four beasts came up out of the sea. Each one was different from the other. The first beast that came out was like a lion, but it had eagle's wings. Daniel said, as I watched the beast come out of the water, it said that the wings were plucked off of its back, and it was lifted up from the ground and forced to stand like a man. And then it said that as he stood, he began to look like a human being, and it said that the mind of a human being was placed in him. And then he turned his attention to the second beast. It said that one looked like a bear. It was raised up on one side, but it had three tusks in its mouth. And it was told, arise and devour as many bodies as you can. And then Daniel turned his attention to the third beast. This one looked like a leopard. It had four wings of a bird on its back, but this one had four heads, and it was given dominion over the entire world. And then the fourth beast. This one was actually the most terrifying of them all. It said it was dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth, and it was devouring and breaking into pieces all that it could capture. And whatever it didn't break with its teeth, it stomped on with its feet. And then it said that this beast also had another quality. It had 10 horns on its head. And then Daniel said, as I looked closer at the horns and I began to examine them so I can figure out what they were all about, in the midst of them all, another horn began to push its way up, a smaller horn. And it displaced three of the other horns that were already there, and they fell off the beast's head. And then when he looked at this new horn that rose, it had eyes and a mouth. And it began to speak arrogantly and give people orders. What a way to wake up in the middle of the night after having had a dream like that. The good part about it is, as you continue to read through that book of Daniel, the dreams get interpreted. And what those four beasts represented, we learn, was the rise and the fall of nations and rulers who were to come. And as Daniel continued to interpret that dream, just as he predicted, each of those came true. Rulers came and left. Empires rose and fell. But in the midst of it all, it left a fear that radiated throughout the entire region. People from one generation to the next who depended upon the leaders were afraid because they didn't know that when this ruler or this leader or this nation or this capital or this army passed away or was defeated, they didn't know what was going to take its place. They didn't know if it would be somebody who would have their best interest in heart or somebody who would just simply run over them and take advantage of them. They didn't know whether it would be a good and just leader or whether it would be someone who would just simply build their own wealth on the backs of those who are struggling. Again, we go back to Solomon's statement, there is nothing new under the sun. And so as we look out into the world that we live in today, for the generations that have come and the generations that have passed, we too find ourselves in the same place. From one year to the next, we don't know what type of leadership we're going to be faced with. We don't know who or what decisions are going to be made, whether they're going to be decisions that would benefit us or hurt us. From one generation to the next, when we look out into this world, there are those who find themselves racked with fear and anxiety because they don't know who are going to fill those positions of leadership. And it doesn't just begin and end in one small segment. It transcends all that we know. Whether it's in our local government, our national government, or international, we don't know what the outcome is going to be from one year to the next. We pick up our newspaper and we hear things and we read things that frighten all of us in one way or another. And then we go back again. For those of us who have worked in the corporate sector, in the private sector, as soon as new management comes in, new heads of companies come in, some of us don't know whether we're going to have a job from one day to the next. Anybody ever been in that situation? I know I have too many times. Or even in the context, bringing it a little closer to home, in the church. Just out of curiosity, for those who have been here for quite a long time, how many of you have seen more than one pastor come and go? Let me see your hands. And in that journey of the many pastors that you've been through, some of them have been a blessing. Some of them have challenged our faith. Some of them have really put the church through a hard time, and others have brought the church up to a wonderful place. But it doesn't even stop there. We have the governing board, our consistory. It changes from time to time. We don't know what kind of leadership we're going to get, but we hope and pray that it'll be for the best interest of the church. How about the heads of our committees and even staff people? Each of those persons, from the government officials all the way through those who run our church, all those in leadership positions have the ability to impact our lives, our faith, our livelihoods. Some of us are in a place where we can just sort of weather the storm and go with the flow from one transition to the next. But everybody's not there. There are still some. There are still those who are afraid. There are still some who sit up at night and worry about what the future may hold. There are some who sit down and are stressed out, just like the people in Daniel's day, about where this is going to leave us and what we will lose and what we will have. All of these things that bring about worry and discomfort from one season to the next. But the one thing that I loved about Daniel's passage is that he didn't stop with the dream, and he didn't stop with the fear, and he didn't stop with just the interpretation. He took it one step further and reminded us that all of these things will only last for a season. But then there was one more thing that he hinted at, and we picked it up again in the book of Revelation, and that is, it doesn't matter who is in control here on earth, at the end of the day, God is the one who's ultimately still in control. Amen? And so, beloved people of God, this brings us to where we are today. On this, the last Sunday of the liturgical season, on a day known as Reign of Christ Sunday, as our Old Testament and our book of Revelation had told us, no matter what you may be facing in your life, no matter what you might be going through, no matter what changes you may be facing, whether it's on your home, on your job, or any worries that you may have in the world around you, know this one thing, that God is still in control, and He's the one who has the final say. Amen. This is what brings me comfort. This is what gives me the courage to face every day. This is the one thing that gives me the ability to stand up. So when the doctors say one thing, I look to the Lord for another answer. This is how it's been since the beginning of time. There's nothing new under the sun. This is how it is now, that God is still in control. And if we believe what the scriptures say are true, He will also be in control through all eternity. Yes, beloved people of God, nowhere in the Bible does it promise that we're going to be happy every single day, every minute of every hour of every year. But we do have this one assurance, and that is God said that I will always be with you, no matter what you're going through. Through the good times, through the challenging times, when life feels like it's unraveling out of your hands and you don't know where to go, God is still in control. And so, if you find yourself in a place where you're feeling down, when you're feeling doubtful, fearful, when you're going through some issues, challenges, whatever they may be, here's what I want you to do. The first thing I want you to do is probably the hardest thing you'll do. Just stop. Stop right where you are. Stop in the midst of your worry. Stop in the midst of your doubt. Stop in the midst of your depression. Stop in the midst of all the things that you're going through that's sapping the joy out of you. Be still for just a moment. And then, in that moment of stillness, no matter where you are, talk to God. Go to God in prayer and explain to Him every little thing that's going on in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in that moment. Don't hold back. Whatever it is, just let it fly. If you're anxious about something, if you're afraid of something, if you're worried about something, if you're sad about something, if you're depressed about something, just let God have it all. Leave out no details. And then be still once more. And hear what God has to say. And at the end of it all, you may be surprised what you hear. You may hear the simple phrase, come back. I got you. I'll take care of you. I'll be there for you no matter what. There's nothing that God is not in control of. Things may seem like they're running away, but God is still in the midst of it all. Beloved people of God, I leave that challenge for you. When life gets to be a little bit beside itself, just remember, God is still in control. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for reminding us of something that seems so obvious that we sometimes forget, that you are the one who is truly in control of all things. And we thank you for that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.